Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is amazing. It is life-changing. It is powerful. And Lord, that when we apply it, when it's operating in our lives, we can just see some incredible things happen, not only in us, but in others. And Father, I pray that as you bring your word tonight, Lord, that you would speak into the hearts of people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:18. I'm going to share some stuff about our trip. 1 Corinthians 5:18 and 19 says this: "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." We had an incredible time in our 6 months, and we saw some incredible things. It's an amazing country in which we live, and I can only say that if you ever get the opportunity, take it. Especially probably the areas you may not get the chance to get into, and that's up in the northwest. It's an incredible country, and you can be driving along, and everything will just look red dust and more red dust and more red dust, and then you'll come to an area where you might see a few trees, and then all of a sudden you're in the middle of this gorge with running water and beautiful streams and trees and life, and it's just amazing up there. And we had an incredible time, particularly in the west. We spent about three months over in the west, and you know, people keep asking, "What's your favourite place?" Well, I don't know whether I can give an answer to that, because there are so many aspects of it that were incredible. But I've got a few, just a handful of photos to show tonight, which we'll go through in a minute. But the word that I was going to preach anything tonight would be the ministry of reconciliation. And when we went around Australia, we not only saw some great sights, but we met some really, really interesting people. And we didn't get a sense of pressure to have to throw the Bible at them, but the differences in life that they came from gave us, I guess, an amazing insight into how people's lives start, how they end up, how they get to where they are, and we may not have, you know, spoken a sermon to people, but just little bits and pieces we had the opportunity to hear, sit and listen, and to just share little things. And for some of them, we don't know what's going to happen, because we'll never see people again. But for others, we know we will see them again. And you know, for all the ones that I talk about tonight, some of them have had little or any form of God in their life and in their existence. So I just want to go through. I've got some photos which are not necessarily photos of the people, but they're photos of the places they were at. And on our first one, you can put that first couple up, Cam. Our first one, that's in Robe in South Australia. Some of you may have been there. It's kind of south east of Adelaide, and you know, kind of halfway between there and Mount Gambier. But it's a beautiful spot, and we stayed there for about a week. And there was a little girl there, and her and Lucas really had a good friendship. And she came with her grandparents. And it was a really interesting story, but this little girl, as we got talking to the grandparents, we asked about her parents, and right there, and they were virtually in the middle of a case trying to get custody of this little girl, this little four-year-old girl. And she was just a beautiful little girl, and she'd walk past our van, because our van was on the way to like what you call a jumping pillow, if you've ever seen one. And it's a good way to hurt your back or break your neck or do anything. But the kids love the jumping pillow. Claudia actually nearly put her whole neck out when she was on the jumping pillow, trying to do things from the past that she used to be able to do that she can't do now. And so this little girl would come past and we'd be in the van and she'd be looking like this and just sort of say, "Is Lucas there? Is Lucas there?" And she's just a beautiful little girl. But as we spoke to her grandparents, they told us that the mother never wanted her, and the father was wanting to do what he could, but he was on drugs, and it was a sad story in a lot of ways, but it was just great to see how these grandparents really wanted to make sure that she had a good life in front of her, and they had some battles ahead to get that. But it was, you know, we sat down and we had dinner with those guys one night, and you know, I don't know exactly what was said, but we hope we shared a little bit of life with them, a little bit of maybe reconciliation with them. And then there's no photo for the next one, and I'm not going in order of where we went, but there was a fella called Barry, and Barry was up right up near Broome in Dampier, and this one was one of the saddest ones that probably I spent time with him. We pulled into a place, and Dampier's kind of it's probably the gateway to where you go down the Gibb River Road and into the northwest where all these amazing places are and the gorges and everything like that, but up into the Kimberleys. And anyway, I got talking to this guy, and I saw he had a book with Jesus written on it, and so we were talking for about 5 or so minutes, and we got to, you know, just general chit-chat, and he said, "Oh, what are you doing?" We talked about our trip and everything, and he said, "What do you do?" And I said, I do a couple of days a week at Bunnings, and I'm a part-time pastor. And he said, "Well, then I'm not the person you want to be talking to." And I thought, now, there's a sad statement. That's a really sad statement. And so at that moment, we had some stuff to do in the van, and I said, "Look, I'll be back." And he said, "Mate, you don't need to come back." And so I went, and I did come back because I was too interested in what he had to say. But he had been involved with churches in New South Wales, and he'd said, "Look, I've been in one church that had, you know, 5 pastors in 5 years, and you know, it was all sorts of immoral issues and everything like that." And he said, "Right at the moment, I'm writing a book to disprove the Bible and I tell you what, he knew his stuff. He really, really knew his stuff. And you know, it wasn't an aggressive conversation. It was good because I was able to sit there and let him talk, and he had some stuff inside, but I could see the pain that something back there when he was at church had taken place. Now, he was on his own, he was travelling on his own, and you know, he said to me at one point, he said, "Chris, I know I'm saying all this stuff, but I don't want to shake your faith." And I said, "You're not going to shake my faith. That's okay. We can talk about this stuff, and we can talk about it openly." And unfortunately, we only had one night there, but you know, some of the things we talked about, I don't know what effect that had. That could have been a seed or something where, you know, in the past he sounded like he'd had some aggressive conversations with people, but it wasn't aggressive. And, you know, maybe there was a form of reconciliation there. I don't know. So that was, for me, a little bit sad, but we were able to communicate, which was just amazing. Next one, which says some photos, and this one's a little bit different. This one, these people, Michael and Viv, they had 2 kids, and we actually met them in Esperance. And this is Esperance, and you can see the colour of the water there. It's just a beautiful place. And we were just in our van one day, and our kids have been riding their bikes around and so forth. Some of these will be in Esperance. That's Esperance as well. But some will be. Yeah, I've lost the weight now, Graham. It's okay. I did a lot of walking. But with these people, this guy came and he knocked on our door, and he and he was from New York, and he said, look, our kids have been playing nicely again in his strong New York accent, and I can't do this accent, so I'm not even going to try. But that's up in the Kimberley area. But we spent probably about a week with them there, and the kids got along really well, and we went on walks together, and we just shared some things together. Once again, that's up in the Kimberley. And they said to us, look, if you're ever coming through Perth, we're living here for 2 years, we'd love to catch up with you. And so we rang them on a day which we didn't think we were going to be able to meet them, and they'd left us a mobile number, and we rang them, and they said, well, come over. And so within an hour we were there, and we spent the night, you know, just sharing around the dinner table and just talking about life. Now being Americans in Esperance, I don't know whether you know any Americans, but in Esperance, we were with them for 4 days. They knew not a thing about us. They wouldn't have known what I did for a job. They didn't know anything. It was all about basically what they did. And they were owners of a restaurant in New York. And this is one of the top 10 restaurants in New York. Now, that means that's a very, very, very good restaurant. And they have some incredible people working for them. And so they shared a lot about that, but slowly but surely, as we spent more time with them, the conversation got to go two ways, and it wasn't just, well, what do you do, and half an hour's talk. It was, they started to ask questions. But believe it or not, after we'd met with them that one night, we were up above Broome, which is 15, or oh, I couldn't remember, it was 2 or 3,000 kilometres north, and we just pulled into a place called Windjana Gorge. And lo and behold, amongst all these other people, there are these Americans that we'd met earlier. And we spent the next 5 days just travelling with them. And we had an incredible time. And one of them was in a place called... what was the place called? It was near Windjana Gorge, and it was what they call the RAAF Boab Quarry. And it was an old quarry which you could basically free camp there. And when we met them at Windjana Gorge, they said, why don't you come out with us and stay out? And so we went and just... It was in the middle of nowhere, and the quarry had filled up with water, and the water was really, really clear. And we stayed with them for a couple of nights there, and then we went to the Bungles, and then we went up to a place called Alquestro up in the Kimberley. But the conversations we had were amazing. And at one stage, we started to get onto the whole God thing, and they talked a little bit about their experiences. And at this RAAF Boab Quarry, one morning, we were just... It had a very African feel. And the lady went and got her iPod and system, and she turned on full blast the Soweto Choir. Now, if you've ever heard the Soweto Choir, it is amazing. And that, I will never, ever forget that experience. It's almost like God came down in a powerful way and just, you know, we could just see God in everything. And there's the strangest thing to put on out where we were, but it just had an incredibly spiritual feel about it. And we're friends for life with those guys. You know, they may be coming into Melbourne, we might see them, and they want us to visit them in New York, and but we have a connection, our kids have a connection with them. And I don't know whether the dialogue has gone any sort of way with any sort of reconciliation for them, but there was no pressure, no, we have to do this, we have to say this, but we had some very in-depth conversations. There was, I'll only do one other, and it's probably the fourth, actually the last group of photos, Cam, so group four, if you want to go onto those. And they're at Maroombula. Maroombula was one of our last spots. That's not actually in Maroombula, that's in Queensland. That's Lucas catching one of the many big fish that he caught. But it's these guys here, and that's Daryl and Bryony. Now, these guys turned up at Maroombula the day we turned up, and they were due to leave about probably a little over a week before we left. They ended up staying very close to the time that we left, and I had a conversation about two days after we left there. He rang me and he said, "Look, my wife and I have been having a conversation, and we've decided we're going to do a year-long trip. We're going to sell up." And they had a lot of pressures in their life and so forth, but we've gained this amazing friendship. And in the conversation, their little boy was really good friends with our little boy, Lucas. And in this conversation, he said, Dex misses Lucas. He really misses Lucas. But then he said, as a matter of fact, you know what? Because he's he has a lot of fun, this guy. But he said, you know what? He said, we all miss you. And you know, it is really just was one of those things that really came from the heart. And yesterday morning, they rang us at about 9 o'clock and said, "Look, what are you doing today? We'd love to come up and see you." So we spent yesterday with them, and we have just connected with a really nice friendship. Now I don't know where that's going to go. They have an absolute respect of what we do, but we just have this friendship. And so I don't know, but there's an element of reconciliation that is there with them. Now, I don't know where it's going to go, but we have relationship with them. And that was the beauty. And there's others there, and it'll take away from some of the other stuff I want to say if I go for too long. But it's just incredible when the pressure's off, how it works, and you can just be in relationship with people. And so, ultimately, this has been modelled to us by Jesus, who gave us the ministry of reconciliation, as I shared from that scripture earlier. And he modelled it to us. And there's a couple of things in the Bible. If you've got your Bibles, you can follow with me if you like. And you'll see where I'm getting to by the end. But I needed to share those things with you. And there's five or six experiences here in the Bible that Jesus meets with people. And he actually meets with them. He reconciles something in their life when he meets with them. And the first was in Luke 10 and Luke 10:42, and it's when he met with Mary and Martha. And if you don't know the story, well, Martha's busily working in the kitchen, and Mary's sitting there and she's at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's getting frustrated. And Jesus says this, just a powerful thing. There is need of only one, and this is, I've got this in the Amplified, or but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. As in the other things about the busyness of life will be taken away, but the fact that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus can't be taken away from her. And there was something that took place at that moment with Martha and Mary. But Jesus said, we need time for a relationship. We need time for reconciliation. And the second one was also in the book of Luke, and it's Luke 19 and verse 5. And it's the story of our little friend Zacchaeus. And in 5 it says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Why would he want to hang with a guy like Zacchaeus? And yet Zacchaeus needed some reconciliation in his life. And he was reconciled at that point and made many changes in his life through meeting with Jesus. Third one I had was the Samaritan woman. And it's John 4, verse 29. And it says, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Now, this Samaritan woman had I don't know exactly what it was, but basically she talked to Jesus, and in that moment Jesus said, you've actually got five husbands and you're living with someone who's not your husband. And it blew away this woman. And she went straight to her community and said, you must come and see this man. He's told me all the things I ever did, and he was offering her living water, which was, once again, we can only get living water, the true living water, in relationship and reconciliation with Christ. And Jesus did it. And he did this with people who were at a distance from him. And the fourth one is when in Luke 7, verses 47 to 48, where Jesus anointed a sinful woman. And Jesus was sitting around, and this sinful woman came in. She'd heard about Jesus. And this is how Jesus responded. She brought in the alabaster box. And basically, this is what happened. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And this is the incredible thing. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Because of what she'd been forgiven, she loved much. And she wanted to pour that out on Jesus because of what had been forgiven. But it says here, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. She understands her need for Jesus. And because she's not set up in self-righteousness and in that whole, I've got it together, she loved much. Another moment, an incredible moment where Jesus worked in the ministry of reconciliation. The fifth one was with the lepers. And this is powerful too. And in verse 14 of Luke 17, it says, and when he saw them, he said to them, go at once and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cured and made clean. And then he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. At that point, relationship was restored with their community, because before they were cured, they weren't allowed to be with their family. But because of what Jesus had done in healing them, they were reconciled to the people that they loved and cared for. And the last one, I think, is one of the most powerful things that I've ever read in the Bible. And it's in John 8 and verse 10 to 11. It's the woman caught in adultery. And verse 10 says, then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? After they all picked up stones and they were ready to stone her and kill her for being caught in adultery. And he said, where are your accusers? Where are they? And the only person who stood there at that moment that had the right, because of his sinless life, to stone that woman was Jesus. And in the power that he had, he said, where are your accusers? Didn't even one condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, well, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Jesus was the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus is the ministry of reconciliation. Dictionary definition of reconciliation: to become friendly with someone after estrangement, or to re-establish friendly relations between two or more people after estrangement. To settle a quarrel or difference. And the third one I had here was to make two apparently conflicting things compatible or consistent with each other. God understands us well. In order to carry, as he said, that he's given us the message of reconciliation, in order to carry the message of reconciliation, it's important we understand that we have it ourselves. And I think some people in the church don't feel they're reconciled properly. And it's not because they're not, it's because they don't believe they are. We must believe it. Romans 5:8 to 11 is just an awesome, awesome passage, and it says this: "But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Colossians 1, verses 21 to 23 says this: "This includes you who were once far away from God. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you to His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault." And verse 23 is really interesting. It says, "But you must continue to believe this truth." Hear that? "But you must continue to believe it." It says believe it. So it's a belief thing. We must continue to believe it and stand firmly in it. And I've underlined this. It says, "Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it." There was a lot of dodgy stuff going on at the time this was written. And so Paul's saying about the reconciliation, and then he says, make sure your belief system's right. Believe this truth and stand firmly on it. Don't drift away from it. The assurance you received when you heard the good news. Don't drift from it. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21, which I shared a little couple of verses of before, it says this: "There, if anyone is in Christ..." Can we just do that together? I'm just going to say this and then I want you to repeat it after me if you can. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ..." Okay, let's do it again. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ..." In Christ. This is the key. This is the key. It says after this, it says, "He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself." Reconciled us to Himself. Reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. He's reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, not through anything we can do. Not through our performance, not through being able to do everything right, not through coming to church, not through doing all these things that say you should do this and that, not by obeying the Ten Commandments, but we have been reconciled through Christ. And after that, He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And verse 20 says this: "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." And I didn't write this, but in Christ we are ambassadors for Christ. "As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Andy, can I get you to come on stage for a minute? No instruments. Dan, can I get you to come on stage for a minute? Who else? Joey, come on stage. So no instruments. Okay. These are very special people. This is the Trinity. God the Father. How are you going? God the Son. How are you going? It was tough, wasn't it, on the cross and everything? Yeah, okay. And the Holy Spirit. And I'm the one that needs reconciling. Okay. So, through nothing that I've done, I was born into Adam. And I am a sinner. And Jesus came along because God said, how am I going to get this person to be reconciled to God? And so he sent Jesus over to where I was. Come here, Jesus. No, that's the Father. You can't be the Father, okay? You're God, but you can't be the Father, okay? Okay, and so God sent Jesus to reconcile me to the Father. And so, you can go back over there now. So I accept and I believe what Christ has done for me. And so now I'm reconciled. If you guys can just put your arms around each other, just because you're in. I hope you're in unity. And so I am reconciled to God because of what Christ has done, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Nick shared a little bit about that this morning, about convincing me of my righteousness. I am reconciled to God. And I am in relationship with God. Now, I will make mistakes. But the Holy Spirit, when I make mistakes, it's not like I go back over here. And this is where I think some people in the church think that happens. As soon as they sin, they're back here. But that's not the case. Because the Holy Spirit works with me and talks to me and says, Chris, you know, let's just work this one through. And through the Spirit, we get things like the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. And so the Spirit works in my life because I am in Christ. Like we're all joined together, I'm in Christ. And the Spirit works in my life, working with me, because Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Helper to help you with your walk. And so in Christ, I am in relationship through the power of the Holy Spirit with the Father. And I walk my life. Now, it doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I tell you what, in relationship, it helps me to walk a more powerful walk. If I feel I'm over here, I'm going to be worried about ticking the boxes, like Nick said this morning, on making sure I do this right and that right and everything else. Over here, if I'm believing right, I'm in relationship and I'm reconciled to God. Thanks, guys. Give these guys a hand. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Inside first. Jesus deals with inside first. Right belief first. Performance or trying on the outside won't make it happen on the inside. It's the inside first. When we think reconciliation with God can take place through our ability, our goodness, our behaviour, our righteousness, we are living a flawed model. Even that scripture in the Gospels talks about seek first His righteousness. It doesn't say seek first your righteousness. It doesn't say seek first righteousness. It says seek first His righteousness and all these things will be added. We can't do it ourselves. We cannot do it ourselves. It's been done. We've got to believe that it's been done. It can only take place, reconciliation can only take place through the gift, which is a gift in what Christ has done. We will burn out if our relationship with God and with others is based on our abilities. In Christ, new creation. In Christ, fears, prejudices, judgments, offences, rights begin to fall off, and all our relationships are in Christ. It means the old has gone and the new has come. So with Jesus our model, what happened with the woman caught in adultery? Jesus did not judge her, even though he's the only one that had the right to judge her. He did not judge her. He brought her into relationship with him. With the others, with Zacchaeus. What a wretched little fellow he was, taking people's money. But God wanted him reconciled to himself. And in Christ, when we believe it and we understand it, even our rights begin to fall off. We don't go around saying, oh, I should have the right to go and do this or the right to go and do that. Because in Christ, we're in relationship with him. And we understand that it doesn't matter how hard we try, Christ has already done it. And we work in relationship with him. And when we make mistakes and when we do things wrong, in relationship at work. So I was talking to someone the other day. I think it was Joey the other day. We were walking around and we had a difference of opinion last year. And we had really good, solid discussion about it. But you know what? In relationship, we worked it through. If we're in relationship with Christ and we understand that God wants the best for us, like, you know, Dave's been sharing, then we understand he wants us to have the best. And it's not about us going, why can't I do that? Why can't I behave like that? Why can't I get those things? Because we understand that God wants the best for us. And in Christ, it makes all the difference. And we must see ourselves in Christ, not in any other way. And the Holy Spirit is there to bring us, to continually keep us in that relationship with God. And so, we have the message of reconciliation. And so when we start to talk to people who might not know God, if our fears and prejudices and all those things, we begin to communicate with people in the way that is not judgmental of their situation and circumstance. The minute we meet them, we don't feel like saying, you have to change this. I mean, if God puts an incredible word and it's a moment and everything like that, that's different. But we don't, the Bible says we don't need to fear of where people are at because we have Christ in us that can change the world. And he has given us the message of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation as he had it. So don't ever feel that you aren't good enough to share the gospel, because the gospel is exactly what we've just shared, that Christ came, he died for us. He took our sin and he said, here, I'm giving it to you. You don't have to be at a certain place or you don't have to be at a certain maturity in your walk to be able to go and share your life with others. I just want to read that scripture again. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, and this is important, that we remember this in our actions and in our deeds and everything like this. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Father, we thank you that you have given us the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, we thank you that you have reconciled us to you through what Christ has done. And in Christ, we understand and we believe through faith that what you have done is powerful and life-changing. And we walk in it, God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in our everyday experiences, that we would remember that wherever we are in Christ and we are a new creation, and that you are there to help us through each day. And Father, we are forever grateful for that. You are an amazing God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we bring the ministry of reconciliation to those who don't know you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.